Well, good morning, everyone. It's about 6 o'clock, a little before, here on the 11th of May, and I just sent out everyone an announcement for our talk show on Monday night, which will be at 6 o'clock Central, 7 o'clock Eastern, and the topic is going to be what is true fellowship. And if you want to get a little bit of idea of some of the subjects we're going to be talking, I done a message yesterday and posted it on Facebook, as well as sermon audio on the fellowship of believers. And there's a lot involved in the subject, and it's very important that we have fellowship with those of like faith, and we demonstrate our love of Christ to our brothers and sisters. It's very edifying as well. So anyway, I look forward to hearing from you all Monday night. You can either call in or just log into the chat room, whatever. Today I'm going to be talking about something that I think is timely. Right now we've just experienced the crazy politics, the power struggles going on in Washington, D.C. We see the firing of FBI Director Jim Comey, and we see all of this talk with Russia's involvement in the election, and we have a hard time, you know, validating what is true, because there's so many lies out there. And, you know, regardless of what news channel you listen to, whether it's all fake news, I think it's probably all fake news. You know, really, the Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. Okay? And we are all liars. We are all born and conceived in sin. We are all you know, we cannot do anything to cause ourselves to speak truth out of our own mouths. Only the Holy Spirit can reveal truth and the Bible. And so we have to have a foundation. You know, we have to have a foundation to stand upon. We cannot get our truth from outside the Bible, outside the Holy Spirit. They're one and the same. You know, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And we've talked about this before, but in a society that is so, in our culture, which is so full of lies, and is so inculcated with all of these lies, it's a refreshing stream of water to go to the fountain of living water, Jesus Christ. And we find that he proclaims who he is and why he came. He came to save his people from their sins. He also proclaimed that there's, through his apostle, there's no mediator between God and man, but the man Christ Jesus. And that he's given him a name which is greater than any name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Truth is not in a principle. Truth is in the person of Jesus Christ, and can only be found in him and his completed work. And if we are brothers and sisters in Christ, we have the faith of Christ. We don't have our faith. We have the faith of Christ. And only when we have the faith of Christ can we believe and have faith in Christ and his imputed righteousness that he has given to us. And that's a very important thing to realize. A lot of people believe in imparted righteousness, but they don't believe in imputed righteousness. The Bible teaches imputed righteousness, not by works of righteousness that we have done, but by his own grace he saved us. And he also tells us that he has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And that we have this gift that we've been given is not of works, lest any man should boast. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, but we have been created unto good works, and we need to be reminded of that. No, those works don't have anything to do with our eternal salvation. They're absolutely and a result of our eternal salvation. And Paul tells us that we are to not be weary in well-doing. Was Paul proclaiming a doctrine of works when he said we should not be weary in well-doing? No, he wasn't proclaiming that our works were any merit to God. He was saying that this is evidence of our election if we are doing good works and conforming to the image of God's dear Son. All the way through the epistles, we are exhorted unto good works. We are exhorted to love our brothers and sisters. We are exhorted to fellowship and edify and build each other up in the most holy faith. We are exhorted to hold on to sound doctrine and not to give heed to endless fables and genealogies. Paul said there's a time when they will no longer endure sound doctrine, but will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears and be turned unto fables. So there is another aspect of true believers in Christ, and that is they will adhere and embrace the doctrines of Christ and the apostles. They won't deviate from that. And when they begin to deviate from that, one of two things is happening. Either they're not truly God's elect, and they are wolves or goats, or they have been deceived and need to be held accountable for anything they're teaching that is erroneous teaching. You know. And I'll tell everyone here, if you ever hear me preaching or teaching something that is contrary to the Bible, I want to know about it. And I want you to call me and tell me and take me to task over it. And you should, as a brother and sister in Christ, have the same feeling. In other words, there's lots of things in the Bible that people don't deal with. You know, they don't deal with the doctrines of ecclesiology in the church. And the reason I have been a little reluctant to go into that about the proper offices of the church, of elder and deacon and all that, is because there's so many other things that are awry other than ecclesiology within these ecclesiastical structures that make their own structures erroneous. Let me be specific. You can have all the ecclesiology down. You can have properly ordained and called. And there's always you always have to put a disclaimer on properly. Okay. Properly is not someone who goes to a seminary. Properly is not one who is a CEO of a corporation and becomes a deacon and elder of a church just because he's got more money. Properly is not accepting people into your fellowship that are Masons. properly is not upholding Arminian doctrine and calling yourself Free Will Baptist Church. Properly is not being associated with organizations like the Southern Baptist Church that absolutely are teaching lies, okay, and have people in their constituency like Rick Warren, okay. Properly is not to call yourself Reformed like John MacArthur and Piper and then associate with the likes of someone like Rick Warren. So that's the thing that I have been more emphasizing on is proper biblical doctrine, and I haven't spent a lot of time on ecclesiology, but we're going to be doing that in the future. I believe in the local assembly. I believe in the local church, not necessarily brick and mortar. And by the way, I've already talked about what is local in a society where you have this message going into all the parts of the world. Are we a local church? Yeah, we're local. But we're broadcasting in Africa, Germany, Australia, China, Japan, Angola, South America, all around the world. And I get monthly reports on that broadcast. Does that mean because we broadcast internationally that we're not a local assembly? No, we go up to Joplin to the closest local assembly we can find every week and sit down and fellowship with the people in Joplin. Then we come back home to the house church here on Sunday night and two or three of us fellowship here. So I'm a believer in not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Every Monday night we have a talk show with believers, and so I believe that constitutes the church. When two or three are gathered in His name, there He will be in the midst of us. Now a lot of people say, well, you've got to be properly baptized, and you've got to be voted in by the assembly, by the members, and you have to be participant in communion and a lot of other things. But we can talk about these ordinances. I'm not against the ordinances of baptism. I'm not against partaking of communion or any of those things. But we have so many problems within what people say are properly constructed or construed ecclesiastical bodies that it makes them erroneous. When churches have deacons and elders, but they're holding to Westminster Confession of Faith or the London Baptist Confession or the Philadelphia Confession or, as a adjunct to the Bible, creeds and confessions and synods and sessions and reverence and doctors and PhDs and on and on and on it goes, and where it stops nobody knows. And so that's the reason I have shied away from really the teaching on ecclesiology, because when I go into these organized churches, I find that they are subscribing to things that are not even biblical. The Westminster Confession has been changed multiple times. So have these other creeds and confessions, and people have their rules of decorum. And it's, kind of whatever floats your boat, And so our foundation has to be the Word of God, not a creed, not a confession, not a synod, not a session. Our foundation has to be founded upon God's Word and His Word alone. So that's my thoughts this morning, and hopefully this has been stimulating to make us think about where our priorities should lie in our relationship with other believers and the world out there. And we're told to come out from the world and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean, and we will be received of Him. God bless you this day.